podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Fatback 4 podcast for this Sunday night. I'm Gav, that's Keith, that's Danny, that's Chris. No football on, so we thought we'd come on and talk about football, if that's okay. This week we're going to talk about contract renewals because they seem to be big in the moment with regards to several players. We're going to talk about the role agents paying it because, you know, you hear stuff about, oh, this club are talking to that club. There's just agents throwing loads of stuff around to see what will happen. We're going to talk about more players that have joined Liverpool's pre-seasons or will do in the next couple of days. The first of the pre-season friendlies are coming during the week and anything else that comes up in the chat as well. And we'll have a little chat about what's coming on the day trippers next season. You might have seen a tweet on Friday night with regards to that. But we will have a little chat towards the end with regards to the shows, the people that are on them, and what we're looking to do next season. Lads, you are very welcome. Sean, he's still kicking on channel. He's doing great. Grizz has won another jersey off somebody by the looks of it. And Keith has knocked the South American stuff on the head because he was sweating last Sunday night trying to wear that Italian top after Italy had won the Euro, so he's come back to underarm.
Yeah, just great. Underarm on.
See. We'll start with contract renewals, lads. Grizz, I'm going to come to you first. There is numerous players. Henderson, it looks like they're going to try to tie down on a deal to the end of his career, are the words they're using. Allison looks like he's close to agreeing. You've got Virgil, you've got Salah, you've got Firmino, Mane, Fabinho. There's loads of them there that are in around the 2 years left and whatever. What do you make of all this? Because the Henderson one, you know, that came out today, I think, yesterday or today. When it came out, people are like, oh, 31. How many years is he getting? And making comparisons to Gini Wijnaldum. And I've seen people saying, like, going on as if Gini Wijnaldum wasn't offered a contract. But what do you make of this, Grizz? Is it just the things they do? Because that's how football clubs work. Because it looks like to me that you're not allowed to renew a contract now unless you sign a player.
Yeah, look, from the club's point of view, one of their main objectives this summer or at some point this year was to keep hold of the good uns. And that's exactly what they're doing. We've got a lot of good uns on our books. Players that are absolute legends in my eyes. And we're trying to tie them down like any well-run operation or club would look to do. And there's no drama behind that. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Obviously, you'll always get fans that are more opinionated than others, and we'll always look to compare, like, why didn't X get one and why is Y getting one? That's throughout the history of football, isn't it? So this week's latest gripe is, why is Henderson getting one and not Gini Wijnaldum? Well, the club decided to offer Gini a contract, and he's the one who decided not to accept it or take it or didn't think it was worthwhile. You know, Henderson has decided or will decide it is worthwhile. And that's about as far as it goes, really. I mean, you can look into the finer details of it and talk about it. But I don't know. For me, it's a boring topic to just keep comparing it to players that are no longer at the club anymore. But, exactly. You know, for the sake of podcast and YouTube content, we can talk about it. You can get the opinion of other guys. But for me, it's a non-topic. Gini was offered a deal that he didn't like. Him and his agent didn't think it was worthwhile. At some point, we had to, and we've discussed this to death again, at some point, we had to look to reduce the age of our team. And, Gini was the fall guy, so to speak, or you could say. Mixture of us offering him a deal that he didn't like and him not accepting. Henderson, in my opinion, won't be discussing any deals with his agent in terms of, I want X amount, I want X deal. He'll be, whatever they'll give him, he'll sign on the dotted line. And we'll appreciate him and he'll appreciate us.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. You know, I think Gino Wijnaldum was offered a deal. It wasn't what he wanted, and he's gone and got a deal somewhere else. It looked like Barcelona. It ended up at PSG. And Keith, I suppose, without getting into the whole fucking semantics of it all, but the way it came across to me today was that I just took it as Jordan Henderson is signing a new deal. And I'm going to be honest with you. Jordan Henderson is 31 years of age. Okay, he's under contract till 2023, so he's 2 years left, so he's 33 at that stage, and they're looking to probably extend until he's probably 34, 35. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've no real issue with that, but I'd probably wait a little bit longer simply because of the record with his regards of his injuries over the last year, 18 months. And that's just me. That's not me having a go at Jordan Henderson, that's just me, but the club know more than me. But the way it came across to me, Keith, is that as soon as any contract stuff comes out, it's like, you know, are we not signing fucking players? You know, as if literally we've just shelved all transfers and we're only concentrating on getting Jordan Henderson a contract. That's all I'm like, that's the way it came across to me. I if you want to argue with me about the whole ins and outs of Jordan Henderson getting an extended deal until he's 35, I'll have that. But I don't see why Jordan Henderson signed the deal has anything to do with anything else and why he should do.
Well, does it? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it just, you know, players sign contracts all the time. Clubs tie players down all the time. Does this go back to the old transfer committee thing with Liverpool that it gets highlighted and it gets over-exaggerated when Liverpool are offering extensions? Jordan Henderson, I mean, Jordan Henderson is Liverpool's captain. Jordan Henderson is Jurgen Klopp's general on the pitch. People getting upset about Jordan Henderson signing a contract and being one of the first to sign a new contract. They need to stop that because Henderson is a key component of this squad. Do you know what I mean? The problem we have with Liverpool with contracts, right, is I think they've left too many of them
around
going
the
into
point.
Their last two. Because I'm going to list off all the players who are out of contract next summer, right? Salah,
next summer.
Oh, sorry, 2023. So going into 2 years now left on that deal, right? Salah, Mane, Fabinho, Van Dijk, Firmino, Naby, Hendo, Ox. And then you've got a load. You've got Wilson, Grealish, Shaqiri, Phillips, to Winnie, Reese Williams, and Ojo. So you'd expect the bottom half to be either moved on or not to be impacted. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the reality is, as much as we can say Naby Keita will get sold and all that, they have a huge decision on him and Ox because they're all going in. If they don't give them a contract, and this was one of the reasons why I was saying I would have moved the likes of Mane and Fabinho on, because it's either pay them big money, the last...
And Firmino, I think you meant to say there, did you?
Yeah, what did I say? Fabinho. No, sorry, Firmino. I would have moved those lads on.
I was about to clip him. you know me, I'm nasty like that.
Just to clarify, Fabinho says. But no, because there's a lot of big contracts to be done. And, you know, Liverpool's salary, the wage bill is so high, that's because of our success. We have to pay the players that have got us there. Do you know what I mean? We have to pay the players that have got us there. People say, why didn't we pay Genie? Well, you can't pay them all. And I was vocal enough about it that I would have moved Genie on regardless. I would have sold him last summer when he still had a value. But I think Henderson, people need to get off the issues about Henderson signing a contract. The club had that Dortmund. He had Sebastian Kehl playing. He was the club captain. He had him playing up until his mid-30s as well. Klopp values leadership. He values consistency. He values all the attributes that Jordan Henderson brings to the team. And he does suffer with injuries. But he plays a lot. And when he plays, he gives value to the team. When he doesn't play, he gives value to the team as well in the opposite way. Do you know what I mean? So people will throw in the age-old Naby Keita versus Jordan Henderson. Naby doesn't miss as much as Hendo. But it's what Hendo provides when he's there that puts him above the likes of Naby and Ox. It's consistency, and it's the price of our success that we just have to, you know, we have all these lads that they're our big boys. We have to pay them. And if that takes a bit of precedent, which it doesn't really, we've signed Konate. People think we're not making transfers. We signed Konate. We got that one in early. I think we'll get another two in the door before the season starts. That's my opinion on it. And I think that'd be decent standard as well. So we'll look back at this and say, well, what's the problem? You renew your players that are there and you bring in a couple. do we want to be in a situation where we're buying 6 and 7 players in a transfer window? We're not, we said that a few weeks ago when we were doing the fantasy game. But the reality is you don't want to be that. You just want to be adding 2 or 3 if you can into the squad and replenishing it. Just happens all these lads are at the same age, approaching 30, and it's a big contract for them. It's a last big deal. So I suppose you just pick that poison on who you give them to. Genie missed out. You look at what Genie was on compared to what they valued him at, compared to what he got at PSG. I think he trebled his wages or something going to PSG. Liverpool were never going to give him that.
Yeah. Shani, you know, Keith's put off a list there, and some of them you have to nail down. Alisson, Van Dijk, Fabinho. You could argue over Firmino, but I think Klopp values him a bit like Keith says. Klopp values Henderson. You've got Mane, you've got Salah. And they, if you look at all them, all things being equal, they are ones that you'd absolutely nail to the wall as soon as you can. And then you have got big decisions on Oxen and Kate that seem to be because of their injury records. A bit like I said about Henderson, because Henderson, for me, has fallen into that a little bit. But having said that, he could come out and play 26 league games next season. And, you know, I'm an idiot. And that's fair enough. I'm an idiot most of the time. But Sean, you like, I seen a comment there a few minutes ago, and I think this is where it's coming from. The comment, and it's gone off my screen, so I can't bring it back. And it is that this person doesn't want to see at the end of the transfer window, James Pearce telling you, or James Pearce or others telling you that the reason we didn't be so active or weren't so active in the transfer window is because we have nailed down these guys to new contracts, and that has to be taken into consideration. Do you see that, Shani? Because they always knew they were going to have to pay them these contracts, and they always knew that this transfer window was coming. Surely at the end of this transfer window, Shani, we're not turning around going, oh yeah, we've put 5 or 6 on contracts, but we haven't brought in enough to supplement them. You can't see that happening, can you?
No. No chance. No chance at all. I just... People linking the new signings coming in to contract negotiations, they're not mutually exclusive, like... They're nothing got to do with another. And to say that we can't be working on transfer deals because we're working on contract negotiations, well, that's rubbish as well, because these are massive teams. It's not just Michael Edwards on its own. Michael Edwards would have his own team. He'd have his own people out working on each specific deal, so to speak. So people just need to relax, in my opinion. Now, that's my opinion. I'm not going to tell people how to support Liverpool or what they should or shouldn't be doing, but just relax. Like, have we not learned? How many times have this setup made people look silly in hindsight? And it's always in hindsight, because we didn't sign Werner last year and everyone was going mental, but we end up getting Diogo Jota. Yeah, we pay probably 5 million less for what we would have, but we didn't have to activate a release clause. We didn't have to pay him 250 grand a week and break the transfer budget, and we could pay Wolves whatever way we liked. So Liverpool always do the deal that's the best for Liverpool, and it's always been that way. So even look, they're not going to give players contracts who don't deserve them. It's as simple as that. I know Adrian got a contract this year, and that's one thing I will say. I'm not sure why they done that, because if you ask me, they probably could have got an English keeper in and use them in another way, you know what I mean, in terms of the logistics of the squad and the home ground stuff and stuff like that. But people just need to relax, Gav. It's the same old, it's pre-season bingo. The people will be going mental next week when we don't win a pre-season game, saying that scrap the season before the ball is even kicked. Like, put it this way, if the Premier League kicks off next Saturday and every single club goes into the season the way they are, we win the Premier League next year.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
I agree with you.
It's as simple as that. And people can and I'd argue down to the ground, our 11 is the best in the league. It's as simple as that. Now, there is work to be done, and I think it will be done. But these contract situations have become more important than ever. Look at Pogba. Look at Alaba. Look who else is in a bit. Aguero ended up going. Look at Messi, the greatest footballer of all time, the most marketable footballer in the world, is a free agent still to this moment. Now, he is going to sign a deal, but he's a free agent. So these things do matter. Like, these things are important. They're not the glamorous new shiny toy, but like Chris says, it's important to keep the big boys around, especially when they're the best in class. If you have the best goalkeeper in the world, you better pay to keep him. If you have the best centre back in the world, you better pay to keep them. And they will. They will get deals done for Fabinho. I believe Salah will be the last to get his deal done, because, to be honest with you, I think Salah's going to end up being the highest paid player in the club's history. And if you're giving Salah probably 280, 300 grand a week, then the agents of Fabinho and Virgil will be sniffing that off the bat. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to be tactical with this. Even though the players are already at the club, it is strategic. It's all strategy. The only reason Henderson is getting a contract is because I'd imagine Henderson's probably taking the same money that he's already on. Wouldn't be too much more. And probably a year extension. But because we're not bringing in the signings, everyone's losing that shit. You know what I mean? It's we didn't not give Genie a contract to not give to give Hendo a contract. They're not intrinsic. They're not linked at all. So people just need to relax. That's all I'm saying is, it's what now? The 18th of July. Look, before the Chelsea game last year, that was the second game of the season. We signed Thiago and Jota in the space of 48 hours. The club have the irons in fires and they're ready to pull the trigger on deals. They just need to get the ball moving in terms of outgoings. And it's not a sell to buy. It's the logistics of the squad, Gav.
Yeah, well,
it's all strategic. Like, this isn't like FIFA. You go in and press X. You go in and press X. Much do they want? You negotiate. Yeah, bang. That's what you... It doesn't work like that. There's so much admin work and everything else that goes into transfers that, to be honest with you, us four and the general public are too fucking stupid to even comprehend what goes on in these days.
Definitely us four.
It's mental. Like, so we just say deal agreed, then bang, bang, bang. Like, I'm seeing on forums, United fans are going spare because they haven't released a video of Sancho holding up a jersey. This spoiled brat.
Not a done deal.
It is a done deal.
Well, still it not is. Official.
Yeah, but it's...
You know, this is what I'm saying. This is how long an actual deal that's done is taking to release. You know, away. We're a week after the Euros now. He's on holidays, so you're going to have to wait.
The thing is, it's the thing, Gav, is people automatically reject the positive news and then they all pile in on the negative news. So, for example, he's not coming. Oh, for fuck's sake, this is a load of bollocks. But tomorrow we could be linked to Mbappe. And everyone will be like, oh, that's never going to happen. Why are they writing about that? These are journalists. They have Monday to Friday jobs. They have to fill sheets and news columns. Don't believe everything you read. Because if that was the case, we'd have 26 midfielders, 30-odd defenders, and we'd have every striker under the sun who's 23 and under who can play across the front three would be at the club.
Look, but you know what, Shani? It's all just linked players, isn't it? They're all linked by the media, by people linked on Twitter and all that. Do you know what I mean? And people say, oh, they're just missing out on these. But they're not players who are actually fucking bidding on, or we even know that they're interested in. The Jota one came out of nowhere last season. No one saw the Jota.
My made-up source knew that Saul was joining Liverpool before anyone else did. And I made him up. And he was still right. You know what I mean? So
top sauce.
That's the way it is.
Jonathan Davis.
Like Chris says, the game's the game.
Yeah. Jonathan Davis, thank fuck Jonathan Davis isn't in charge, because he said, to be honest, Shawnee, I'm pretty crap at doing deals on FIFA as well. So Jonathan, don't be rocking around Anfield looking for a job. We're in the transfer committee because we will
be those. Just give them the deal that they want. Just accept that. Yeah, it's more than I wanted to pay, but let's get this deal done. Yeah.
Now, The one thing that's come up as well, and before we get on to agents and stuff like that, because agents have a huge role to play in it, and they go out with a way to put our client's name out there in any way possible, just to nudge somebody or give someone, you know, this might be worth it and stuff like that. Or even if they're trying to get a move to Club A, they'll throw something out about Club B to make Club A come back in, you know, the usual. But, you know, people are saying, you know, Liverpool have signed Kanate, and that's fine, right? People are saying we haven't signed another player because we haven't got people out. Grizz, this sell to buy thing, I don't really get it, because I don't believe that Liverpool are sitting there going, we have to get rid of Origi or Shaqiri and or both and whoever else before we can sign another player. I don't believe that. And people will say, well, we're selling to buy. I don't really get into that because the way I look at it is it's a business. Now, if you don't want to get rid of a few before you bring people in, or you don't want to just let people know that, that's absolutely fine because you're only weakening your hand. And, you know, as a business, I don't really care what Liverpool spent and I don't really care what they bring in once they're happy with it, if you get what I'm saying. What do you make on these outgoings or possible outgoings? You know, because we're seeing tonight that Saul is being linked with Manchester United now. He's being linked with Chelsea. He's being linked with Liverpool. And, you know, if he goes to Chelsea or Liverpool or Manchester United, people say, oh, that's because Liverpool didn't sell players. What do you make of this, Grizz? Is it just a case of, look, they're going to leave and that's it. Don't be worrying about it. They don't depend on each other, do they? Really?
No, of course they don't. Look, the simplistic way of looking at it is, if that was the case, are we really saying, so for example, let's say we don't manage to sell anyone in a mad hypothetical situation, right? We don't manage to sell anyone. I still think we will buy two. And that would be the theory of sell to buy in the bin. What it comes down to, I mean, obviously, I don't know where this sell to buy phrase has come from, actually. If you actually analyze it or try to work it out, where has it come from? It's not come from the club directly.
I think people think it's sell to buy, and that this all came from the Coutinho thing. You know, we sold Coutinho and then we bought.
Yeah,
not so, really true. We are buying Van Dijk before Coutinho ever.
Let's imagine this is a quiz. All right, let's imagine this is a quiz night, and I ask you to name me a club that hasn't sell to buy. I don't think you'd be able to name me a club that doesn't sell and or to buy.
No, sell and buy.
Yeah, it's part and parcel of business.
Exactly.
There is not a club that isn't a business anymore, and we are part of that business family. So
it depends how you define it, because Liverpool are a very, very well-run business, and. Listen.
I always
think about it is, like, if we say for argument's sake we sold our last 10 players for 100 million, and we spent 150 million, and you see where the club is now, you go, that's fucking brilliant. And you actually look at the likes of, say, a Leicester, right? And they go, they're brilliant in the transfer market. And you look at the team they have for Leicester. Liverpool are very, very good at it. You know, they managed to get good fees in, but. I always ask myself the question, would you be happier if Liverpool just let all these players go for 1-2 million and then just spent the same money on Salah, Mane, Van Dijk, Firmino, whatever it might be? And I wouldn't be, because I'd be kind of going, well, Harry is not selling better. You know, the sort of way, if we let Origi go for 3 million and we let Shaqiri go for 3 million, right, and we signed two players that we're going to sign regardless, would people be happier because we didn't rely on that. It seems like we're not allowed to rely on incoming money to spend on outgoings. Any business out there relies on incomings and outgoings to balance themselves off. That's not me defending FSG for anything that might happen this summer. I'm very open about it. I think FSG have to step away from the model that they've shown over the last 5, 6, 7, 10 years, wherever it might be. Because I do believe that, A, the contract situations for many, B, the lack of movement in January, and C, what other teams are going to do, although we can't affect it. We need to be in a position where we're able to strengthen. And to strengthen, we're going to have to spend more than what we usually would, in my opinion. But then again, as Shawnee teach yourself have told me many a time, Klopp just picks these players and they come in and you're going, 30 million? Ah, he's not fucking great. And next thing, look at him. He's brilliant, Grizz. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've lost track of the point that I was going to make and you've made now. But look, I agree with everything you said. There is absolutely no harm. In fact, it's only good that your club is ran brilliantly from a business point of view. Sell to buy is just a phrase that is being brought up on social media, since social media. There is no club, as I said, there is no club that doesn't sell and then buys. It's all about offloading players that you don't need. What we can criticize Liverpool Football Club, and I have criticized Liverpool Football Club, FSG and Edwards, you know, they work as tandem, is the fact that they haven't done enough in the last couple of windows, meaning, which has meant culminated in this window where everyone's expecting, including myself at the start of the window, a lot
of work. You've always felt that they've one pair short. That's been yours. Yeah.
And even outgoing, not just incoming, even outgoing. And so, therefore, we've left with the players and we played the fantasy game a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Where me and Keith wanted to sell 11 players each. But if you actually analyzed it and take away the fantasy element, we're probably justified and we probably can make a case for each one of those 8 to 11 players to be gone. Because this literally just sat there absolutely useless to this football club. And it's unfortunate that all these players, Deadwood, call it what you want, are needed to be sold in the worst possible window for a seller. This is not a seller's market. And we're just like anyone else suffering. Look, nobody knows, but Chelsea have just sold a centre-back from their reserves for 20 million.
Who?
Like to Crystal Palace. I can't even pronounce his name. So this is business. Chelsea, we're talking about Chelsea, who are about to lodge £150 million bid for Haaland, we're told. How good is that business, selling a reserve centre-back for 20 million?
Chelsea and Man City are the best at the owner. Like Chelsea have been the owner for years.
The word best has to be used loosely. Because they ran off a sovereign state and a Russian oligarch, you know what I mean. You have to take it in context as to what happens.
Man City are going to raise $100 million.
Yeah, that's ambitious.
By the time that they even touch a squad player, so a player, not one single player who was making match day squads, because they have.
We know United are trying to offload Pogba, James, Lingard. Yeah. Every club does it. It's part and parcel of business. Quickly finish my point and then you can crack on. The original point about sell to buy, it's not a thing. As I've literally explained, even if we manage to, in the worst case scenario, let's just say we've got rid of only two players, we're still bringing in players. The only difference or the only important factor in all this is how much we can raise. Because without doubt, that affects the kitty. So that's the only
thing that's been the way since the beginning of time. I remember going back to the mid nineties, and you think war chest is a fucking a recent thing? It's not. That was the talk ever since probably the Premier League started. It was always the war chest, and the reason they're getting the war chest is because such and such is leaving. You know what I mean? But if I go through Liverpool's starting 11, right? Alisson has 75 million, right? You have Trent who's an academy graduate. That's great business. Okay, you have Robertson at 8 million, is great business. Would you tone him down now because it's only 8? Of course you wouldn't. You've got Kanate at 36, you've got Van Dijk at 75, you've got Firmino at 40, you've got Thiago at 25 million quid?
25 million.
Yeah, you've got Henderson at 20 million quid 10 years ago. Okay, you've got Salah at 34, you've got Firmino at 30, and you've got Mane at around 30 to 34. That is fucking exceptional business. And sometimes I get the feeling that people would rather us sign, regardless of how we do, spend 80 million. Regardless of how we do, just spend 80 million to say we spent 80 million. I find it hard to, when I look at these and go, you know what, I don't, and I keep going back to it, and I have to caveat with, I believe they need to do a bit more. I have to caveat with that because I do believe that. But at the end of the day, when I look at Liverpool on the pitch, I just go, that's a fucking phenomenal team. I don't care how they came about it. That's a phenomenal team. And then when you look at the figures, it actually gets more impressive. But at the same time, I understand people that go, the 11 is brilliant, lads, but we definitely need one or two, if not three more, as a backup. And for us to be able to, because it is a squad game, and we always talk about it. And when you look at the squads that Chelsea will potentially build, I'm not too worried about United, but Man City, that have that squad and will add to, and take players out and put players in and strengthen. I do get where people's frustrations come from, but at the same time, you need to stop forgetting the figures. Just look at what's fucking there. And that's where it goes. I have to read the super chat.
Look at the calendar. Look at the calendar.
I have to read the super chat. Musa LFC, sorry, says 21 says, and thanks for the super chat. He says essentially every club is Celta Boy. No one can stockpile players anymore, and each team is only allowed to register a certain number of players. And that's true as well. There is a bit of stockpiling that does go on at times on loans, but that's where Chelsea make that money back, because you bring these back off loan, they've been impressive to get 20 million off somebody, and away they go. Billy Cometio says, Grizz, Pakistan losing to the England B team. What's going on? Is this in cricket?
Yeah.
What was cricket, the crease like?
Cricket, what's that?
Oh, solid crease.
Was it?
Yeah.
Solid crease.
I was watching it.
Billy Cometio regrets that super chat now. Like, he's talking on the channel to talk about cricket, fuck's sake.
Just remember, when you go to bed tonight and you feel a little bit bad, there's a fella on the internet pretending to be an under-19s Liverpool player sending super chats onto YouTube channels.
There you go.
But look, he won't be doing it anymore after that.
Just very quickly,
he knows himself.
Just very quickly about the players and the business and, you know, everything. Sometimes, and not sometimes, a lot of the time, you know, we all get engrossed in transfers. Like, fucking, who am I kidding, right? All right, do you know what I mean? But
you're the war study.
But the fact of the matter is, and these are facts, right? If you analyze the business that has been done in the last year or so, right, and analyze our one, compare it to anybody else's. Tell me a club. Name me a club. It's quiz time again, lads. Okay. Name me a club that's done better business than Thiago Jota Konate in the last, within a calendar year. For how much in total, lads? That's
51.
80 million.
95 million.
Under 100 million.
Yeah.
So, sit back and relax, and let's analyze that. Tell me a club that is on top of already a fantastic fucking squad that was absolutely mullered with injuries, has done that business, and knows, don't get me wrong, again, like Gav said at the start, caveat it with there's still more to go.
A lot of people are saying Chelsea have done better business in the last calendar year.
Are you joking me? Well, they're looking to blade and get rid of Ziyech. Werner hasn't done that, and Havertz hasn't done
that. Hold
on. Thiago Silva, you joking?
On top of the fact they nearly ended up outside the top four before they won the Champions League last year. On top of that, they paid colossal money for Havertz, who for large parts was shite. Yeah. They paid 50. Just let's call it what it is. Yeah, he was good at the back end, right?
I'm astounded people have said Chelsea. Like, I'm astounded.
I think the Chelsea business, up to now, I don't think it's better business than what we've done.
No.
But having said that, we haven't seen Konate play. Thiago was out for a good bit. But you may see the best of that Chelsea business coming into this.
No, you won't. Because Chelsea didn't get any player for less than what they were worth. They overpaid for every single one of them. They paid 60 million for Chilwell.
But this is why I was very clear with my words, Shawnee. Exactly that. I said the best business we've done. Business, not the best player.
That's a great show. Leicester. Leicester always do good business.
But Leicester, they do good business, and I agree with you, because I know one of the players they've signed, Keith, is a massive fan of. He's a midfielder. Samari. They've signed the lad off Leipzig. Not Leipzig, off their Salzburg. Pats and Daka. They're looking at Kabak, I think, and there was another player that was linked with them during the week.
They got Ryan Bateson for free, which is very good business.
That's a fucking great deal. But what I'm saying is, but Leicester are probably building themselves up for a big sale, i.e. a Madison or an Ndidi or a Seonju, because that's how Leicester work.
Every year, the last 5 years,
That's their model. They've sold. And in fairness to them, they have got a lot of money, but I think Leicester are a very straight down the line, a very honest club, and I don't think they're a bitchy club or a spiteful club. And I think if a player wants to move on and progress, they're not the sort that'll be pricks about it. And that's the only way I can put it. And I think in fairness that endears Leicester to me anyway. Because the way I look at it is, you know, you've seen players like Kante. Drinkwater was a fucking, he should have stayed where he was. But the likes of Chilwell,
great business for them. They got
it is great business. And players see the greener grass and all that sort of stuff. But the impression I get is that Leicester will sign players, and if you want to leave, you can go, but we'll continue on the way we are. And I think they're very, very good at that.
there's the yin and yang. Like the people are saying Chelsea, and Leicester were able to get 40 million off Chelsea for Danny Drinkwater. That's not good business. That's just having a load of money. Chelsea bought Ziyech last year and they can't give him away this window. They paid, and everyone thought that was a great deal at 35 million. So if you throw a load of fucking shite at a wall, some of it is going to stick. So
it doesn't mean their business is great.
They bought the most high profile players, but they didn't do the best business. Look, Grizz hit the nail on the head there. We bought all of those players for under 100 million, and then on top of that, we get 25 million for Rian Brewster. So,
yeah, I think, like, I think
10 million for Kieran Hilver.
But in fairness, I think last season, like many people have, and I think it was Phil Egan said on the midweek fixture on the week, he said, look, if one season was a season to have a bad one, last season was it, because I think it was so warped last season. And I think you'll see the actual true form of Thiago. You'll actually see the true form of Jota, despite him being excellent for Liverpool. I think a full run, because Shawnee is fully convinced that Thiago is going to be fucking arrested for assault on this league.
Jota is going to rip.
And then you've got Konate coming in. And in fairness, you have to give Werner, you have to give Havertz that bedding in time. Chilwell, not as much. He's in the Premier League a long time, but still a new signing. So, you know, I think they kind of got a free year of evolution, some of those players last year, with everything that was going on. And I think you'll see the best of it. But let's look at agents, because, you know, we talk about Liverpool and the biggest one at the moment is Barcelona are talking to Atletico Madrid and Saul in a swap of Griezmann, but now Barca are saying, no, we don't want Saul, we want Joe Felix, and that's all kicking off. And, you know, it's always kind of Barca are saying this and Atletico are saying that and Liverpool are saying this and United are saying that, and it keeps going on and on. But Grizz, I come to you. Behind it all, the agents are the one controlling this, because they're the one that feed the vast majority, in my opinion, of the stuff out into the media. And I'm only saying that because I don't think Liverpool tell the media next to nothing. But I think agents throw stuff out there, Grizz, and just keep punching holes and things until something comes off and they maneuver to where they are. Agents are absolutely massive in this, aren't they?
But it's their prerogative. That's their job.
Sorry, Grizz. Can I have another can?
Yeah, go for it, man. Crack it. The agent is doing their job until their power is rescinded or lessened, whatever. They will do whatever they got to do to get their clients to move, which in turn makes them more money.
Yeah.
So the more moves, the more money the agent makes. This is the game. Look, this Saul situation, for example, his agent, Jonathan Barnett, who we've got a very good... Joshua Barnett, who we've got a very good relationship already with. We've got fucking hell, nearly half a squad underneath. Konate, Reece Williams, Kelleher, Joe Gomez. So he's got a good working relationship with us. It's all about the relationship with clubs and agents is very, very undervalued and not talked about enough.
Yeah.
Because that's where the games are happening. That's where the real deals are taking place. And I'm talking deals that are going to take place as well in 3-4 years' time. The likes of Mion, what's his name, first name? Mino Raiola. He knows exactly his client's next 2-3 moves.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's the problem with Mino Raiola. And that's why certain clubs won't deal with him.
But it's not only Mino Raiola, Keith.
No.
This is Mino Raiola is the face of nasty crooked agents. He's the spokesman. He's the media fit for the father figure. They're all at it. That's the name of the game. Their job is to get look after the players' interests and make sure their players keep it moving. You will never get players, very rarely now, that will settle for a club for more than 4 years max. Watch it. Like, tell me otherwise. It just doesn't happen anymore. This Barnett fella is doing what he's got to do. Like, you know, he's trying to fix him here, fix him there. Saul, 100%, it seems as though he's leaving Atletico Madrid. Whoever gives him the best deal is eventually going to get him. So I don't blame the agents. That's their game. Look, if you ask me about 20 years ago, what would you want to be when you grow up? Actually, I was already grown up. If you ask me about...
40 years ago.
If you ask me about 35 years ago, what
go
do you want
again,
to be when you
go again.
I would have said a football agent, and that would have been the best job in the world right now. It's an amazing job, man. Let them do what they got to do.
It is. Patty OB says Liverpool are tour favourites to win the league with Paddy Power as a 5-1 printing money in his opinion. Revenge tour 21-22 incoming. Hashtag number 20. Shani,
it's the relationship. Just very, very quickly. And this is why it's crucial when you see bad deals and good deals. It's not so much the club was smart. It's all about the relationship between the football directors and football agents. Yeah, and this is where Edwards earns his money. He's created very good relationship with these agents. But obviously there are super agents that know about Liverpool and how good we are and stay away from us. Not only we stay away from them, they stay away from us because they know we're fucking smarter than them. Edwards is smarter than them. It's a massive game, but we play better than most.
Jono says, imagine having to pay Raiola 40 million as part of any Haaland deal. For fuck's sake, that's ridiculous. But that's it. But Aidan Andrews asks, I'm going to read that out because he says, why do clubs pay agents if they work for players? Well, Aidan, the way it works is, in my opinion, and the lads can shoot me down here, right? But the way it works is that if you walk into a deal, okay, and there's a signing on fee, right, that most players get. If it's a 10 million signing on fee, that player probably gets, or that scout could get 40% of that, okay? And then the wages is actually the wages that you're going to actually pay them, along with the agent's fee as well. So that's where the agent makes the money. So the 40 million that comes out for Raiola is probably over the top. And at the same time, he's probably getting a percentage of the sign-on fee plus a percentage of the player's wage. And when you walk that out, I don't think it comes near 40 million, unless it's an astronomical deal. Shani, you know, as Greg said, it is the relationship between directors and owners and agents and stuff like that. But at the same time, agents, I think, hold a lot of the cards in all this, Shani.
Yeah, well, just going back to what Greg said there about relationships, that can be a double-edged sword because look at Arsenal. Isn't your man Eddie best mate with Kier Jorokobin?
Yeah.
And look what he's done. He's raked Arsenal over the coals the last 2 years and made an obscene amount of money out of the club, where the only person who's benefited from that relationship is Kier Jorokobin because he sold Arsenal a load of duds and they have a lot of his clients there sitting on big money. So like Chris said, it's not just the reluctance of the club to be dealing with agents. It's agents now. Oh, Jesus, I'm probably not going to go too close to Liverpool because it won't be the best deal for me. It might be good for the benefit of the player's actual football and future, but for me, I might not get what I want. And like Grizz said, like, Raiola is the face, but they're all the same. We're linked to Daniel Malin. I'd say in Royola's office, he has a clipboard up on the wall and has literally forks in the road for Daniel Malin. We'll get you out of there. Look, Daniel, we'll get you out of there. Play a few seasons in Germany at Dortmund. They have a great reputation of building these players up. What's going to happen is you're going to sign a 4-year contract there. You won't ever sign another contract for them. We'll run it down. By the time you're 26 or you're 27, you'll be ready to go to most clubs in Europe. He'll be willing to pay for you, and we'll get the best bumper deal for you and for me. And Dortmund will be an absolute afterthought. And it's as simple as that. And what Dortmund have done is they've gotten good with dealing with people like Raiola, because they took the gamble on Haaland from Salzburg, who was 30-odd million. And that was for the fella who was only scoring goals in Austria. But they took the gamble. And they're literally willing to say, look, just to keep toys with Raiola, we can keep bringing them in. Our model is to bring in players for cheap and sell them at high. They know Raiola will have all of the top talent. Look at half of that Dutch team. Gravenberg, Boadu, all of those, they're all represented by Raiola, because if you want the best talent in world football, you want to be making a relationship with them. And that's exactly what Dortmund are doing. They're putting up with Raiola's shite because they know they'll have pick of all the best talent in Europe at some stage to go there. And they'll go off what they have. their relationship with Raiola. That way they can make millions in the process. So agents are important. Like people saying, why do you have to pay an agent? Because if you don't pay the fucking agent, you don't get to talk to the player.
Yeah, well, the players put an agent in place because, like, players are football. They're footballers, and they're not educated in the finances and
exactly.
and the tax in the, you know, incentives and whatever it might be. That's why an agent is there. An agent is there to get your name out there, to get contacts, especially when you're a young player. If you're struggling and you're looking for a club, but the best players out there have an agent because they don't want to be dealing with it. First of all, they don't want to be fucking, you know. Jadon Sancho doesn't want to be sitting talking to fucking whoever at Manchester United and discussing the deal because he gets screwed. Whereas an agent will come along and go, I'll deal with it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take 20% of your sign-on fee and I'm going to take 20% of your wages. And don't worry about it because if you expect to get 100, I'll get you fucking 150. And when I'm taking that 30 grand off you, you're still getting 120. You're getting more than you expected and everyone's fucking happy. Everyone's a winner. It's like Del Boy walking around telling Rodney it'll be grand.
Raiola had to basically buy Haaland off his own. Off his outlet. That's the story. I was reading about it. Haaland's outlad was looking after everything. And then basically, Haaland's outlad obviously knew he was onto a bleeding winner. But Raiola came in and said, you know what? Wherever he goes, I'm going to make sure you get paid as well.
Yeah.
And that's the way they are, guys. This is the business. If you don't speak, if you don't know the agent, you won't speak to the player. I think there's only one I can remember where actually KDB is a great one. Like he sacked off agents this year and went to a load of analysts and he said, I want you to compile a dossier for me. I'm going to negotiate my own contract renewal. And he basically went in with all of his numbers, all the stats, all of this stuff that the science departments look into and say, this is actually what I'm worth to you. Pay me. He didn't. That's why he done. And that was unprecedented. That was completely unprecedented. And that's why he done. But then you have others like, I remember Paul Scholes never had an agent. And the president of Inter Milan contacted United saying, we want to speak to Paul Scholes' agent. And Alex Ferguson said, well, he doesn't have one, but I can give you his number himself. And he rang Paul Scholes and said, look, listen, blank check, I'm not going.
Just Memphis Depay recently, the most recent example, does his own deals.
So
But Memphis Depay didn't always do his own deals. Yeah, you know, well, Memphis Depay, after a couple of moves, has seen what's gone on and decided he's probably looked and went, why am I giving this prick 20 fucking grand a week or 30 grand a week when I can take it for myself? Because I'm such a good player, I'm in a position where I can go in and go, I want this, you know. And then you look at where agents never done jobs. Seth Johnson goes to the famous story of Seth Johnson going to Leeds, goes in expecting 20 grand a week and they offer him 40 and he nearly falls off the fucking chair, you know, and he gets 40. He didn't really need an agent, but the swings and roundabouts, but they have got huge control. Gagan Deep Square with a super chat. He says, boy, the sell model worked wonders with Klopp and Edwards when getting to the top. Sustainability to compete yearly, you need that times to break away and stray away from a rigid wage structure. FSG unlikely to do this, hence FSG out does trend.
That's a good point. I agree with that. And I'm not an FSG outist, but you'd have to agree with that. Like,
I don't fully agree.
This model will take you so far, but what I think the end game for FSG is with these big, huge commercial deals that will be able to compete without having to sell, like with the Nike deals, like Standard Chartered is up next couple of years. I'd imagine if Liverpool are still in the trajectory that we imagine, that whoever's wanting to put the name on the front of that jersey is going to have to pay an awful lot of money. So I think, and obviously with the stadium capacity being increased, this has all got to do with us being more sustainable in the future, because that's what it's all about. I don't think we're in any danger of being Arsenal or Tottenham.
Would you all agree?
Basically looking at United's model from the 90s and trying to do the same with us, basically, I think.
Yeah, because the United model at the moment now is an American owner who's a billionaire, and United is the biggest money-making team in football. There's no doubt about that, because you know, you will see Liverpool's profits getting close to them, or their turnover being close to them, but I don't know how long it'll take to get to that, you know, because United are a monster. And the reason they're a monster is because of what they've done 30 years ago, in my opinion, with the ground and with the way they literally programmed themselves to be everywhere, you know, the sort of way.
Like, but we would, are
you,
now.
Would, you, We are like that now, but they done it 30 years ago. So they've had 30, they've had, in my opinion, they've probably had 25 years of a head start, where we were just trudging along, taking sponsorship deals. United were just going, we're taking fucking everything. We're clearing, we're just raking everything in. Would you all agree though that, like, if we got into the conversation about FSG and breaking away from that strategy, which I think they should as a once off to, simply because of the timing and the contracts that are in place, the squad that's there, and what we're looking to do for Klopp before, in my opinion, he goes in 3 years' time. The only way out of FSG is literally to have a Man City owner or a Chelsea owner. I don't see where we can go other than those two.
Gav, can I let the boys take off, because I was talking there. I can't believe that people are going on about this breaking our wage structures. Are they not actually watching what's going on with one of the biggest footballing institutions in the world at the moment?
In Barcelona.
And look what's happening at Barcelona. And yeah. I'm telling you, not too far across the road from fucking Real Madrid. So when you see people talking about, well, it's not my money, so why do we care what they spend? Well, you're a Liverpool fan, right? So you should care what they spend, because it's fucking important. Because look at the state of Barcelona and Real Madrid now at the moment. Real Madrid aren't really talked about, but look what's going on with Florentino Perez and all of these audios. Someone wants him out. He's had to put himself in a position of power where he can't really be removed, but someone wants him out because they know exactly what's going on. They're not too far behind.
So many clubs in history we've seen. So many clubs that, you know.
For example, look at Bayern Munich. They done one Leroy Sané deal and it fucked everything. They're at the Lewis and Alaba. They're going to lose Goretzka. They had to let go of Thiago. They couldn't give them the money they wanted. That's because of one deal.
Unfortunately, it's boring, isn't it, Shawnee? A lot of people find reading and studying these kind of situations as boring. Malaga comes to mind.
Champions League semi-finalists.
Keith will know. Angie Makalaka. Adji Francis sent him, you know. Yeah. So many of these clubs came with big wages, high wages. But I am intrigued. Sorry, Gav. I am intrigued to get Keith's opinion on Shawnee's opinion, where he disagreed with the idea that FSG need to, I wouldn't say, what was the term used?
I would say they need to change their approach to transfer fees, but not to wage structure. I think wage structure is a very dangerous thing to mess with. I think
it's heavily incentivized. But the thing is, if you went and signed, like Shawnee said, the Leroy Sané thing is interesting because they spent a fortune on him and gave him a fortune, and now it's like he's the level holding them. Yeah,
and he's not doing it.
And this is why Lewandowski is being linked away, because
and Coleman
and can they pay Lewandowski? You know,
that's
which
why
is
Alaba
insane.
Is at Madrid.
Yeah,
it's like one deal can screw everything. And I'll go back to the point I made earlier about Salah will go last because Salah is going to get the biggest whack out of them all.
Mm.
But if Liverpool give Salah 300 grand a week now,
then they all row in behind.
You'll have Virgil's
quite right.
What's going on here now?
Yeah, like, but again. Virgil's agent could go in, you know, in the door before. He could be in a waiting room with Salah's agent and he could walk in the door and go, listen, just by the way, I'm in my contract, I want to be matched to the highest earner, so I don't give a fuck who you offer. What you offer the fella coming in the door after me, I want to be matched. And that's just the game that's played. And that comes back to agents. Jono says FSG's model has hit its ceiling. My worry is was it before Klopp? Nothing. Klopp is the reason it works, not FSG. Well, Klopp, exactly. You see, this is the thing. We keep decompartmentalize? Is that the word?
Yeah.
We keep doing that, and we keep going. Well, this doesn't work if he's not there. If he's doing it, if he's not here. And the way it is, like it's literally like saying we don't win the league because Virgil wasn't there, but we do win the league because Virgil was there. You know, it's for me, Jono. They all work together, and FSG did hire him. And they probably hired him because they thought, they probably hired him and said, listen, he's actually fucking so good that we won't have to go and spend a billion. We have to spend 500 million, but we wanted to spend a billion. Exactly. And that's good business sense. And Klopp is that good like that. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's why I say that they need to step away from the model they have, and maybe just give him that extra 10, 15, 20%, and just to ensure that he has what he needs as quick as he needs it, because he is going in 2024, in my opinion. There's no doubt about that. But look, I think it's been, look, there's no football going on. This is one of the best podcasts we've ever done.
Yeah, but Gav, look, I promise I'll say no more on it.
How well, you that, don't out, promise that, Sean.
Yeah, it's an empty promise.
I think they made a bollocks of it in January, but on hindsight, they wanted Konaté. If they could have got Konaté in January, they would have signed him. All right, that's hindsight. But how can you criticize FSG when we've literally grown in every single department on and off the pitch since they've taken over? Stadia, training ground, the ground is swelling out. It's going to be 65,000. The wage bill is swelling out because we're successful, because we won a Premier League, we won Champions League. We're competing again at the top table. Like, we are in the conversation for it. The only reason we didn't compete last year is because a shitload of luck, bad luck. Yeah. And that was it.
This is it. You know, you asked the question, how can you? It's so frustrating that COVID and that injury situation has fucked with so many people's memories.
Yeah.
Like, it literally has. Because of that, because of the situation of our injuries, everyone has reverted back to type and forgotten the previous 3 years, momentum, build-up, squad building, brilliant organization, commercialization,
it's sponsorship. Like that was the
everything is forgotten, and now it's back to, we had one bad, horrible, worst...
finished third.
6 months, and finished third. Worst 6 months, 7 months.
Five points behind an all-conquer Manchester
United. Lads, now that we're chilling, there's no football, we're sat... Shawnee's sat in lovely Spain. You're sat,
Carrick on channel.
Yeah, you're no, sat. You're sipping pints. You know what I mean? Mm. Me and Keith are doing watch-alongs, random South American games. Yeah. Look, we can now reflect and think and say...
You're having dinner with the Sultan of Brunei.
Well, we could get onto that near the end. But it's now we can think back, look back and reflect and actually deep it there. It's not that deep.
Exactly.
It was the most horrible 7-8 months in Jurgen Klopp's life. He said it. And in terms of our club's medical histories, like, that was unprecedented. And now everyone's reverted back to, well, what, FSG.
Wild child mentality. Like 5 years is not a long time. 6 years is not a long time of football. Imagine if you had been saying to a Liverpool fan that the day that FSG walked in the door, I tell you what, we'll win the league, but the next year we're going to have a fucking disastrous season and we'll actually only finish third. You would have been like, you know what, I'll take it. We didn't play in
the league, Shawnee. Forget the league, Shawnee. If you told them that you'd win the Champions League, runners up in one season, get fucking 98 points in one season, win the league, 97, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you know, all in the matter of whatever, you'd say, fuck off, man. Are you serious?
Micah Johnson, who's an Arsenal fan, and I think he listens quite a lot. So, how are you, Michael? Micah, how are you? He says, an Arsenal fan here, I think Jose Mourinho signs for us. I agree. I think Arsenal are starting to look that way. And you guys end up with Saul. Okay, a midfield of Saul, Thiago, and Fabinho is frightening. The world's best.
But a midfield of Henderson, Thiago, and Fabinho is even better, in my opinion. But
I'll take it.
Yeah, and do you know what? But then, having said that, Shawnee, I don't give a shit. Get me as many midfielders as you can, and we'll talk about the depth, and we talk about he played this week and he played that week, and it nullifies any talk of squad depth, because I actually agree with people when they talk about the squad depth. I genuinely do, because.
Absolutely. We're not
turning around saying you're all idiots for asking for fucking signings. But at the same time, you kind of have to look at the structure of it. But I agree with people when they say we have a brilliant 11. We have a brilliant 13 or 14, 15 probably. But we need more. And I agree with that, because I think we need, if you add two more players to this squad and the players that you weren't so sure about happened to turn out just enough, I think we'll be more than okay. And Arsenal looks like they're trying to, by the way, Mike, Arsenal are looking like they're doing some good business this summer. That manager will be their issue. Lads, let's move on, because we've spent loads of time on agents and stuff like that. And it was a brilliant discussion, by the way. And people will tell us tomorrow we are great, and some people will tell us we're assholes, and that's the way it works most Monday mornings.
It's all about balance.
It's all about balance. If we can get enough people calling us assholes, balance with enough people saying, yeah, that was a good discussion, we're happy. Yeah, but I want to just go on to the preseason, because I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm enjoying Virgil going, I'll give this fella a nudge in the back. And that fella that I give a nudge in the back will have a laugh about it. And I loved it. I loved the fact that Virgil looked at the camera and went, him, fuck off, and gave him a nudge. And then you could see Kanate looking and laughing and stuff like that. Already there's a bit of a camaraderie there and stuff like that. And Grace showed me a video earlier. Was it Salah? A video on Instagram from Mo Salah. Did somebody lose a challenge today in training or something like that?
Absolute hysterics. I think Sean has got into it. He'll probably know more. But I saw the clip. It's fucking hilarious. I've watched it about 42 times over and over again. And you analyse each player. I think Gomez is in it.
It's a mad scene. It's brilliant.
Matip's always the standout. The standout.
Well, Midnight Toker has given out, he says 700 watching and 142 likes. Please, if you're watching, hit the like button, because we're told all the time it's very important for what happens. So please, that's hit the like button. Now we're on the way back out. Grizz will get very upset. I hate mentioning this because Grizz gets upset. Very Devon, he asked, but the camaraderie in the squad is brilliant, and you see that, and I love it. Is Grizz the highest paid agent on the day trippers? You'll have to ask the head of finance, Shawnee, on that. Shawnee is the head of finance the minister.
No comment.
And he's not making a comment. But lads,
as James Pearce would say, I believe the reports are wide of the mark.
Okay, I think Andy's the highest paid. He has 18 windows in his fucking kitchen, for fuck's sake. But lads, the preseason, and there's more players coming in. I think Harry Wilson, Nico Williams is due to join. Of course, Henderson will be back soon as well. The Brazilian lads will be returning soon.
Thiago,
the more I see of it, lads, the more I see of it, the more I go, fucking hell, there's a lot of players there. Lot of players there. Shawnee, is there some of them that are just coming back for the crack because they won't be there or they won't be involved next season? And I am thinking Nico Williams. I am thinking Harry Wilson. There's one or two more. Is it just a case of, Derek Grewich and Carries are there already, but
honestly, I think they should have started a new WhatsApp and left the boys out and just left them on scene.
Or move the Viber and not hold them.
Yeah, just tell the boys, listen, we're not even going to Kirby, we're back in Melwood, so we'll see you there. We'll be back in about 3 weeks. It's undisclosed location.
Everyone meet at the Ship of Mitre on Monday morning.
Grizz is right, you see all these. I believe the context of the Salah one was that everyone was giving out about Salah going mad because we're losing training games, and Salah put up a video saying, this is what happens when you lose.
Do you
know what I mean? So the boys ended up doing a bit of a dance. But it's great. The inside videos are brilliant. And you see the boys going around on bikes that are too small, wearing helmets that are two sizes too small for them, floating around Austria. But it's great. And the big thing for me, Gav, is seeing Klopp again with the big air-to-air grin and having the crack and a few of the lads there who have points to prove, the likes of Harvey Elliott. And look, I think we will move them on. I tried to keep a positive. Look, I don't want to see us loaning out fucking Wilson and Grealish and all these again. Just get them out. I mean it. Obviously, for some of the prices you hear going around saying, how are they getting that for them? I believe battery's not included, job, but how do they think that they're kidding? Yeah. They just need to get them out. But look, we're playing Wacker Innsbruck or something, aren't we, tomorrow?
We're playing four teams tomorrow.
Tuesday.
Yeah. And when it's nil all after 15 minutes, I'm sure the bleeding, the internet will be going rasher. But look, just enjoy it. Look, I think there's a big season coming up, no matter what happens. There's over a month and a half left in the window. It'll all be sorted.
I can't wait for the season.
This is all the stuff you don't need to worry about. Exactly, Gav. Fans back, full and fit.
Shawnee, the fucking Minister of Entertainment, has booked us all into a big, massive, huge, massive table with the biggest screen in Europe to watch Liverpool play. And am I right, Shawnee?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I just sent him the debit card details, and he's gone and had a great time with it. But we're going to have a lovely time on the 14th of August.
Imagine full Anfield. I'm especially excited for the Champions League next year because I really think we can win it. I think if we can keep everyone fit, we can win it.
Yeah.
I've seen last year the way it went out. And to be honest, I prefer the Champions League run really to the league run, if I'm being honest with you. But that's just me. But enjoy it all. Soak it in, all the preseason stuff. Don't be getting wound up about shite that you see online. There's loads of time left in the windows. Just enjoy it. We have them all back. Virgil's back smiling, having the crack. At the end of the day, Konate thinks he's a big bollocks pulling his jersey out of a skill bag. Or as one of the trippers said, that Konate done a gender reveal for his fucking number.
Why is he doing a gender reveal for his number? Avi is trying to infiltrate the chat here. He says, Gold Cup final, watch along. Everyone please tell Gav to entertain the idea. Avi, if you just let me know when the Gold Cup final is on. I will sort a Gold Cup final watch along for you, I promise, because Abby's he's
what he's a persistent. He's persistent so with good. The old watch along.
I love him.
Gab, the last thing I'll say is
You said this three times.
Yeah, now this is me new. This is like when Grace tells, I made a great point. This is gonna be my new thing.
Yeah.
It's that season where everyone's going to be making predictions about how good everyone is and how shite everyone is. We won't be in them conversations this year because everyone's going to be talking about City and Chelsea. But just remember
and
that.
And you know,
remember I said it on this podcast. Just remember that because
the Reds are back.
The fucking right they are.
Grizz, I want to ask you before we... sorry, not Grizz, Keith, I want to ask you before we move on. Shawnee mentioned...
Yeah, but I'll just say something I won't say.
Fuck off. Keith, before this fucker fucking jumps in again. Keith, Shawnee made a comment there, and it's very important. How big is that break for Jurgen Klopp and the players? And you look at, Alisson's gone off to the Copa America, but he lost his father towards the back end of last season. And Klopp lost his mother and stuff like that. But, we joke about Klopp, drinking Corona, lying on a yacht, smoking and stuff like that. But in all fairness, regardless of how bad that season was, we finished third, but it was traumatic is probably the word to be used. From all the staff, from the likes of the manager and the goalkeeper have lost family members. You have the staff, the players, everything. It was kind of a traumatic season when you look at it off the back of a league winning season. Keith, how big is that break? Because I think it's huge. I think not only are the players staff, management, whatever, are coming back with, they've dealt with situations that they didn't get a chance to deal with. That's the way I'll put it to you. They've come back, and not only that, they're coming back after comments being made throughout the media and football about them last season that I think they won't need anyone to open their mouth this season, Keith. They've all them pinned to the back of the dressing room door. And I keep seeing the words revenge tour being used, and I'm up for it. I'm fully up for it.
Yeah, revenge tour is right because you're spot on there. People are talking about Man City, Manchester United, Chelsea. They're not talking about Liverpool, and I'd say Klopp is delighted with that. Last season was a clusterfuck. Everything that could have gone wrong on the field and off the field went wrong. People can say, that's making excuses. Everyone deals with injuries and all. Yeah, fair enough, but not to the level that we had to last season. And then you've the Klopp issue. I think the biggest thing for Klopp and Alisson, right, Alisson's off in the Copa, but he got to spend time with his family as well over in Brazil. The Copa was in Brazil, and then he got on a break. So he got a chance to go home and spend time with his family, a very close family. And Klopp the same. He got a chance to go off and recharge his batteries because I don't think pressure overly gets to Klopp under normal circumstances. And I think last season was sort of it wasn't the norm. The press were on him. They were asking him laden 50 questions about because he was concerned about the subs and things like that, the five subs, you had Des Kelly in his ear every week. And, there was just constant, digging him. And on top of everything else, he just seemed to lose his way for a while. And then he lost his mother. Totally understandable. This season, I think they're going to be focused. I think Klopp's after getting his break. The players are after having a break. We spoke about Jota and Thiago, they're nearly like, I know everyone hates this, they're nearly like new signings this season. If we can get everyone back fit and raring to go.
I think you see a different element to them.
Yeah, they played, like Thiago came in last season and had to play a role that wasn't his role that he was bought to play. So it was only at the end of the season that he sort of, he gelled into the team and we know what he can do, but we saw it week on week when Fabinho was back in midfield and, you know, he could play the game he was meant to play. I think this season, touch wood, there's no injuries. I think we see them forward and like as if they're new signings. I think, you know, the impact I think they'll have, because if we look at Van Dijk and Gomez, let's say, I don't think Gomez is going to be anywhere near ready personally. I think you'd be looking at Van Dijk, Matip maybe at the start, right, as a partnership, if Van Dijk is ready. That base alone allows your team to push 10 yards further up the pitch, and it lets them play differently than what we were. We were always chasing our tails last season. Do you know what I mean? It's hard, isn't it? But we were chasing it. Now, I'm not saying it was all because Van Dijk went there. We got beaten by Villa when Van Dijk and Gomez played. We know that. But it was just a mad season. Do you know what I mean? You saw teams winning, games going 7-2, 6-0, you know, 9-0. That's not normal. Do you know what I mean? It was a mad year. We saw a team decimated by injuries. And I think everybody now, with the break, coming back, Konate is a huge signing. Fucking huge signing for us. People are crying about centre-backs. We've got, in my opinion, the best young centre-back in Europe. I think for the way we want to play, I think he's absolutely massive. I said it last season, last summer when we were linked for him, I said he's better than Upamecano. Once people were in the comments lashing me out of it, saying I mustn't have ever seen him play, I stand by that. I think this fella is absolutely brilliant. And I think we're going to be so much more solid at the back. When you think of Liverpool, you think they're an attacking team. But I think our defensive solidity is what allowed us to win things. And I think that comes back this season. Alisson fresh. The back four is the back four, whoever it'll be. And then I think we see us flourishing further up. Because people would say, we still missed a lot of chances. We missed a lot of chances. We did. But again, it's all an effect of having to defend deeper, having to, you know, not as commit many men forward. There's loads of different reasons for why last season was shit. This year is a new thing. We're going to be the underdogs. And Klopp loves being the underdog.
I can't understand if we go into that squad, like Shani said earlier, if we went in right now, tomorrow, the season starts, I can't understand for the life of me why we'd be underdogs. I can't.
I think we'd be fourth favourites. I'd say we'd be
fourth. Well, I think that's fucking outrageous. Outrageous. Yeah, who's the three in front of us? Who's the three in front of us?
And City United.
Stop.
I'm telling
nobody cares about rationale or just being top or anyone. We looked like we were going to run away with the league before bleeding. Jota got injured in December, God's sake. And look how quickly people forgot that.
Well, I'm quite happy to be an underdog, but I can't understand why. Michael Johnson says he feels, as an Arsenal fan, Arteta will be sacked by November. He thinks the standard of the big four is the highest that we'll ever see. For example, if Liverpool win the league, he can see one of the other three, City, Chelsea, United, winning the Champions League. Grizz, finally on this and the pre-season stuff, and we will see movement. Is it good for Liverpool to have that base in Austria? It's very, like, I think it was Kev O'Sullivan said earlier, it's a good spot to be in, you know, for, it's quite private, you know, and they're used to it. But also, if you have players, regardless of where they're going in Europe, they're very easy to go there and do medicals and stuff like that. How good a move is Austria being for you, Grizz?
Overall, it seems to be perfect, to be brilliant. Well, I say perfect. There's been slight issues with a couple of the training pitches that have been mentioned. Mm-hmm. But overall, it seems to be beautiful. And you make a very important key point there without starting transfer hysteria. I mean, I wouldn't do that. But you're right about the medical side of things, because you know, I believe, and someone in the chat will correct me if I'm wrong, of course, they love doing that. But it's one of the few countries where issues like quarantine and movement is far more relaxed. And so that will be a key feature, in my opinion. Apart from that, the base itself looks lovely. The atmosphere amongst the squad, the environment around them, very private, as you said. There's not many there's not many crowds and public allowed there. It's very, did you see the way they got off the coach and it's like a remote hotel and everything? It looks brilliant. And seeing the lads out there, it's made me giddy.
Why is Keith lashing his camera around and all that?
I just moved my laptop there, guys.
No, that's how much he was agreeing with me. He fucking made everything.
His laptop was not nudging.
Do you know what I mean? Everything, fuck's sake. But look, it looks lovely. And look, I've been giddy at the most stupidest things that you'd think, like, how is a grown ass man being so giddy about Virgil van Dijk giving Konate a little shove, a friendly shove, and then Konate is looking at him like, I'm fucking bigger than you. You want to watch that? Do you know what I mean? It's like things like that is getting me all fucking excited again, and it's brilliant. But yeah, again, another brilliant week. Let the players come back. The big boys are about a few days away as well. I can't wait now. I really can't wait.
Yeah, I think, and to be honest with you, there is players joining in over the next couple of days. And like I said, Henderson, the Brazilian lads, Thiago, you'll probably see another week before they become involved, maybe 10 days, whatever it might be. But anyway, I think it's good. I think, what are you laughing at?
Shawnee coming from. Bring that up.
What? Bring what up?
I've got it here right here. You won't find it.
Johnny's in there. It's the coolest scene I've ever seen someone do a fucking podcast on. It's like, do you remember when we won the league, Phil Thompson was in his back garden with his kids in the swimming pool? That's exactly what it reminds me of.
Do you know when he comes close to the camera, it's perfect, it's brilliant.
That is the
comment of the night.
Shawnee coming to us live from his Ring doorbell camera. It's absolutely stunning.
The phone is not working, mate, you see, so I had to do something.
Genie Houdini says, if we don't replace Genie, you'd have to be mad to think we come anywhere close to winning the league. Well, that all depends on what happens in the next 6 weeks. Lads, before we better get out of here, we're an hour and 15 in, and we said we promised we'd try to do it in an hour and 15 or so. But I just want to talk to people about Siena. So we're trying to sell out Anfield. We're trying to do it virtually. It's €1 per ticket. And if you go onto our website, lfcdt.com, and go to the store, you will see the Siena tickets. The link is in the description as well. But if you want to do that, please help us. We're motoring on. I think we're close to nearly 1,000 tickets sold, but we want to sell 53,000. Now, we are being charged with every transaction. So for every euro you give us, I think we get about 65 cents. But if you were to buy 10 tickets, we get 9.65. They're taking about 35 cents off us for every transaction. But look, it's very important to us. We're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep talking about it on every show. It's going to be a link in every show. And literally, if we do this, she's going to America. That's the be all and end all, right? Because the side issues around us doing this is that people go on to our GoFundMe and give some money as well. But look, as we've said, it's €1 a ticket. Even if you can't give that €1, all right, please send the link on to everyone you know in WhatsApp groups, Facebook, Messengers, whatever it might be. Please spread the word. And as I said, we're not going to stop until we sell all those tickets, because we reckon for the 53,394 tickets or whatever it is, we'll probably make about 47,000-48,000 euro when all the commissions are paid. And that will get to America, 100%. It will get to America, okay? So please make sure you check out the description. If you can donate, please donate through our GoFundMe, or buy some tickets and do it that way. And if you can't, all we're asking is that you just spread it on. And if you spread it on, and then the next person that gets it spreads it on, it just keeps going and going and going until we hit enough people that are able to give us €1 a ticket. And as I said, no pressure on people, but all we do ask is that at the least just spread it on and see how we can get on. Lads, before we finish.
Sorry, Gav, before we move off, Anthony McConville's asking there, where do we buy the tickets? There's a link on the website, isn't there?
There's a link in the description to this show. Yeah. If you click the link in the description to this show, the description below, you will see a link. You click on it, it will ask you. One thing I will say, if you do it from a browser, like a desktop browser, it will give you the option to just up the amount of tickets you want to buy. Okay. If you do it from a mobile, it doesn't. For some reason, it doesn't. So what you need to do is you just need to click it and go in and come back out and click it. And if you want to do 10, you have to do it 10 times. So I would advise, if you're going to buy multiple tickets, do it from your desktop browser, and it literally asks you, add the cart, how many do you want? You pick 50,000 and you pay us, and then we have it all done and away we go. Or you pick one. That's absolutely fine. Before we go, we have announced our lineup for next season. 21-22. So we have got us on a Sunday night. We're going nowhere. We've got the forum, which is obviously a debate show, four topics, four lads. You know how it works. We have the midweek fix with Jamie, and I think he has. We have some. I think Phil Egan and I think Dave Rogers are going to be regulars on that show next season. So that'll be good. We've got Carnage, which was fucking amazing this week, by the way. The Carnage transfer agenda show of last Thursday was brilliant. They had got Ross from the Red Men, and they had Mo Stewart from the Anfield Rap, along with Grizz and Avi. It was a brilliant show. But we are going to have a Grizz show, Carnage, and it will be just Carnage. Every week for the following season. Friday night is a new show. We've moved away from our prediction stuff. We're going totally different. Avi and a new guy on board called Connor, who's a Chelsea fan. Be nice to him. They are going to have Sports Unplugged. All sports. Every sport you can think of, bring it. And if you can find sports that Avi knows nothing about, even better. And those lads are going to do it on Friday night. We have got the Red Sea lads that are going to do your post-match reaction after every single Liverpool game, starting from next Friday with the pre-season stuff. And the pre-match stuff will be Chris. Chris Brack is moving from Friday to take over this, along with Darren Whelan and a new guy, a Scottish guy called Conroy. Those three lads are going to be looking after our pre-match stuff. So there's loads of stuff, loads and loads and loads of stuff going on. So, Shawnee, do you like the lineup? And what are you looking forward to most next season of all of them?
Of course, I love the lineup. And I agree with you as well. Carnage the other night was unbelievable. I think every podcast last week was unbelievable. And I didn't even make it onto any of them. So I started feeling like I was going to get the chop. I thought I was going to get genied. I thought I was going to turn around and say, have any shows, do be going like, listen, mate, I think it's better to be just you fuck off for a bit. Yeah. I've seen what Gav's been working so hard on in the background in other groups. And I'm so excited for everyone else to see it, and he really is, for want of a better term, boasting his bollocks to make this the best podcast that he possibly can.
And it's already now. I finished it tonight.
And
it's already.
I'm telling you now, I swear, I'm not just saying it, like, it's 100% going to the next level, so you should be excited. And look, if you can't get up for transfers and stuff like that, just know that Gav's going to have your bleeding mind blown in a couple of weeks, but the stuff he's put together. So I just can't wait to be part of that again, Gav, and another season with you three mad fuckers and whatever else I managed to squeeze me head on. I'm really looking forward to it because I can see it being a successful whole season again.
And can I just add as well, nothing changes for the people that watch and subscribe. Like, this isn't like we're making all these improvements, but it's going to cost people. It's going to improve all the shows, the quality of the shows.
Got a long off Grizz to develop all this.
Yeah, that's it, the chief agent. The quality of the shows, the visual and the everything about the show will improve, and the content with that will improve. It's exciting, and it's going to be great to be a part of, as Shawnee said, you know, happy and lucky and glad to be a part of it, and especially going into the new season.
What excites you most? I'm going to be honest, Friday night watching Avi and Connor trying to discuss all these shows, all these sports, I think it's going to be amazing.
Avi's pushing the lacrosse agenda there. I've seen that getting mentioned. I thought it was Lacoste.
He just texted me the other day saying Ric Flair. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but I'm sure we'll find out in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait for Abby to be doing WrestleMania bleeding 26 predictions and all that. It's gonna be the business.
Do you know what? Abby will probably want to do Royal Rumble watch alongs while he sits there with a mock belt over over his shoulder, you know, that's out the way. But
almost like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Gavin Walsh says best pod in the world bar none. Trust me, and I've said this to the lads, I said, if these fuckers, and I'm talking to you people in the chat, if these fuckers don't like this, what we've coming, I'm giving up, I'm fucking done. And you will see the first installment of it on Wednesday on the midweek fix. You will absolutely see that. Grizz, what's exciting you the most?
Oh, just working with you guys, honest to God, not a word of a lie, just being involved. Yeah look, the game's the game. The game's the game, keep but nah, it is, isn't it? Like we've come this far And we ain't looking to stop anytime soon. That's my message to everyone in the chat and our subscribers and our listeners. But before we do end, I just wanted to give a happy birthday to a very close, a friend of mine whose father just recovering from major surgery, and it's actually his birthday tomorrow. And he's a massive, huge Liverpool fan. His father, I was honored and privileged to have dinner with Sheikh Ahmed Al Khalifa of Bahrain last week, and his father is recovering now. He's very well. And I just wanted to wish his father a happy birthday tomorrow. He's a massive Liverpool fan, has been for 45 years, I've been told. And he's Ahmed himself is an avid listener and watcher of our channel. So happy birthday and best wishes to his father as well.
Yeah, 100%. And we seen a picture the other day of just Grizz sitting in the restaurant with this guy, and the amount of food Grizz ordered for himself was horrendous. Detective Sergeant Joe Walsh found the picture in the foil and put it in, and the amount of food in front of Grizz's camera was horrendous. And Grizz's response was, "Please show the other four people that are actually sitting in the table beside me."
He cropped out everyone else. He just was,
no.
He left out everyone else and just showed me and two people with a big platter in front of us.
It was a platter. It was like about 14 times the size of the charity shield, the amount of gear you had on it. Sam Tandy says the LFC day trip has got more budget than FSG has for us this window. Great content, lads. You never walk alone. But now, in all seriousness, we've tried to structure this for next season in to be more organized. To we're quite regular, aren't we? We're quite consistent in what we do. We're trying to be more consistent, and we're trying to get people to relate to shows. So you relate to us for most Sunday night, but we're trying to be more consistent with the people that are on shows on a, whether it be a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, wherever it might be. And we're not putting, like people would say, oh, they're only putting pre and post-match shows in just for the crack. We're not. We're actually, when a game is on, we're actually making the pre and post-match the flagship of that day. We're actually moving other shows around for them shows to be the flagship on match days. And we will move the Forum, or we will move the Midweek Fix, or we will move Carnage. The only one that won't move is the Fatback 4, because we're on at 10 o'clock and usually Liverpool play about 4, so we'll be able to get that in. But during the week, Liverpool play at 8, so we move stuff around. So we're not doing stuff just for the sake of doing it. We're doing it because we believe that the viewers want to see that content. We believe that the people that we're bringing in are very good at what they do. And of course, you know, we want to be more consistent, and I think it's going to be brilliant. I think the Red Sea lads that are coming in, I think are very, very good. You have different opinions to each other and us, which is good. And the lads that are going to do the post-match stuff, Chris, Darren has been on with us a couple of times. Conroy hasn't, but he comes recommended from a couple of people as well, all with different opinions. So I think that's really good. But I have to be honest with you, I'm just looking forward to people's reaction. I'm just looking for people's reactions with regards to thing. Michael Ramsey says, what a rubbish lineup, not one female.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
Let me tell you, Michael, I've contacted about 12 females over the summer with regards to coming on to wear shows. I've asked them, I've offered them places, and they've just, for whatever reason, haven't wanted to come on, okay? We have let me finish. We have got women's. We have Chris Brack is looking at doing a monthly show on women's football, and three of the panel will be women. Yeah. Okay, so Michael, wind your fucking neck in.
And Grizz had the Arsenal fan.
We had the lovely Jessica. We've had Emma Saunders, two of the best podcasters, podcasters in the business.
You
didn't
watch the pod then, because if you'd have watched the pod last week, you would have seen one of the best Carnage guests that Grizz has had on.
And she's gonna be a regular next season as well.
Yeah.
Look, this fella's getting her eyes out, which he normally does, but at least he paid for it.
Yeah. Mohamed Jogi says Gav useless. You couldn't even get Sophie Rose. Don't talk about Sophie Rose. This girl I didn't know during a draft one night. But I'll
work
get
on
Grizz
it.
To ring her.
Grizz has the digits.
No, listen, I to be honest with you, I like Michael's comments. I like answering them, but don't even attempt to tell me that it's not, there's no female on there, because I have been open to females coming on. I've asked them, we've had females on in the last couple of weeks, months, whatever it might be, and I've offered people the chance to come on. They've turned it down for different reasons. You know, it doesn't suit them. It's not their thing. They're doing other stuff. That's absolutely fine. But don't come across and accuse us of not having any females on, because that just annoys me, to be perfectly honest with you. And I make no apologies for coming on and being annoyed over that. No, and clip it up and send it on the internet that I'm annoyed that you made that accusation. That's absolutely fine. Lads, anything else before we go? Grizz?
Nope. Absolutely brilliant. I think we've gone way over time tonight, but it's worth every second.
Okay. Shani, anything else before we go? Are you coming back from Carrick on Shannon, I suppose, is the big question.
Same one.
2024.
No, I'll be back soon. But anyone worrying about me, whereabouts, or how I'm doing it, don't be. I seen a couple in the comments. Yeah. It's all good. Don't worry. I'll be back.
Fucking great form. Not a bother.
I'm in smashing form, honestly.
Yeah, apart from this morning, you were in a bit of a bundle. A bit of a
I was in the least bundle this morning, but I only last a few hours. Don't mix your gargles. That's me only one.
Do you know what it is? Don't put fruit in your drink. Shawnee's sending me pictures of grapes in his fruit in his drink and blueberries and all sorts. I stuck a grape on the top of my can earlier and it done nothing for me. I'm being honest.
It looked grape on.
I sent Shawnee the picture. I cut a grape in half and I stuck it on the little tab that you open with your camera and it done nothing for me.
Don't tell the tax man, Shawnee.
He tell anything else before we go.
No, do you know, before we finish up about transfers and the ridiculous nature of sort of transfer news and rumours, there was breaking news on Sky Sports News either yesterday or today that Manchester United were close to agreeing personal terms with the representatives of Rafael Varane. That's what we have now as news. Do you know what I mean? So just relax about fucking transfers and where we're at. Plenty of time to go. We'll all be happy at the end of it. You can clip that.
Good stuff. I've asked Shawnee, I've asked Keith. Grizz, did I ask you anything else before
you? You asked me already. And you said no. I gave you no. Yeah. Okay. If you keep asking me, I'll fucking bring up something.
Nah, don't. It's too late.
Fuck off.
Right, that has been the Fat Pack 4 for this Sunday night. The forum is back tomorrow. I think it's a viewer's choice tomorrow. So all the stuff to talk about in the forum tomorrow will literally come from the viewers in the chat. That's what the lads have decided to do tomorrow. Don't think we're doing that on Tuesday. The midweek fix is back on Wednesday. And the new look will be debuted on that show as a once-off before we launch it properly. And we probably make a mess of it, but look, that's how it goes. Thursday will be a carnage / transfer agenda / I don't know what name he's giving it now. He keeps adding on to it, but that will be on Thursday. And we'll have a little break on Friday, and then we'll be back on Sunday. And as I said, we're taking these little breaks to test what we're trying to do for next season. And once the season starts, you won't be able to get away, must to be perfectly honest with you. That's it. That's been the Fat Pack 4. Have a good one. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.